Okay, so the goblin horde is rushing towards you. What do you do?
My monk charges forward to meet them in melee combat.
My barbarian will enter rage and charge the goblins as well.
Can my paladin join their goblin smashing party?
Of course. And what is our warlock doing?
I call upon the power of my plus one podcast of slaying and use it to rain fire down upon the goblin scum.
What? No.
You have to be kidding me.
Everything is burning.
Seriously? Wow. I do not have a good feeling about this session anymore.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to the show. I'm Squirmus, and hey, Happy New Year, I guess? Yeah. Just seems like more of the same so far. And I'm sorry, I don't mean to be in a dour mood, but, well, we'll get to that in a sec. Anyway, first of all, I think you may have noticed that this show has come out on the wrong day. Well, yes, because I made a slight change to the schedule for our podcasts at squirmy.com, swapping this show from its normal Wednesday slot to Friday, and moving Loot Mechanics from Friday back to Wednesdays. Basically just swapping the two, because there's a good reason for it. Loot Mechanics is more of a time-sensitive type of show, more news-oriented, and this show is more opinion-based, more, yeah, it's not as much needing to be topical and, you know, coming out right after news has come out. So by moving it back a couple days, that helps Loot Mechanics out a little bit. Makes it seems a little bit more like it's, you know, fresh. And this one can be a nice Friday, end of the week sort of show. So we're going to give that a shot and see how it works. Not that you care. Anyway, so what are we talking about today? What are we going to start this wonderful new year off? Since, you know, 2020 is finally behind us after a decade of struggle, and hopefully things will get better from here. What do we have to look forward to in 2021? Well, friends, I'm here to whine. Yes. Well, not so much whine. I just feel old. And it's not just because of the heart surgery I had last year. And it's not just because of the omnipresent fear of contagion and plague that has been hounding us for nigh on a year. No, it's not that at all. It's about role-playing, actually. Now, as you know, I've mentioned it many times in the past, that I'm a long-time tabletop role player. My brother got me into it, I think, back as far as 1979. He says it actually goes back further than that, but I don't recall. I was really young then. I was like 10, 11 years old. I was born in the late 60s. Yes, for those of you who are younger, I'm a dinosaur. I'm aware of that. Go ahead and make your jokes in the comments. I'm okay with it. But yeah, it's been a long time. Well, over those years, I've collected many role-playing games. Many. I've got a big bookshelf full of them, and that's not even all the games I've ever owned. Over the years, I've lost a few, like my old original boxed set of Star Frontiers. I had many supplements to it, and I'm so kicking myself that I don't have that anymore. I don't even know what happened to it. It was a great game. Okay, I hadn't played it in years, but I really enjoyed the heck out of it. So I'm looking to replace it, but that's beside the point. Thing is, I've got lots and lots of books, and honestly, I prefer the books. I prefer physical media. I like having a role-playing book in my hand. I don't care if it's the full size, you know, 8x11 sized books that you usually get, your standard D&D sized books. I don't care if it's those or the slightly more, you know, weirdly shaped ones like the original editions of Warhammer Fantasy Roleplay, which were always a little tall. And you'd have your bookshelf set to be, you know, with the adjustable shelves, you'd have it set to be just the right height to fit your role-playing book. So you could have more shelves in there. But no, it had to be taller. So you'd have to adjust everything up, and it messed everything up for one freaking book. But that's okay, because fun game. I enjoy the heck out of that grim, dark world. It was like one of the earliest grim, dark games. And I still have that book and others. Or I think it was the Saga edition of Star Wars that Wizards of the Coast put out that were weird square-shaped books. They just had to be odd and stick out. So you couldn't have your spines all lined up. Oh no, this one had to stick the hell out of your shelf. Yeah. That right there was reason enough for me to not buy that edition. I know, it's weird, but aesthetics. You know, I'm not going to pull all my books out to match up with that one, because then they're all right on the edge of the shelf, and it's just weird, and I don't like it. And of course, there's the Powered by the Apocalypse books, and ones similar to it, which are like 5 inches by 6 inches. They're itty-bitty. They're like regular book-sized. Like the size of a regular hardback book. This is fine because the content is so awesome. I'm like, you know what? You fill a shelf just with these. That'll be great. And you get more content out of some of them. Like Dungeon World is so much better than most D&D editions. It's got so much to it because it's all in one big, thick, Bible-shaped monster of a book. And I love it. Anyway. That's neither here nor there. Let's just say I like me some books, okay? Even if they can be even if you're sitting there and you got to flip through the pages and find what you need, but you can put bookmarks in there if you want to. There's ways around the problems with them, and it's kind of be hard to, especially if you're doing a actual play podcast like I often do, you know, Ronin Roleplaying. You can hear it at squirmy.com and many of your favorite podcasting sources. Again, not really germane to the discussion, but it can be kind of hard to hold your book open while you got your recording going on or whatever, and everything's right in front of you, your dice and all that. It can be a little tricky, but some would say, well, why don't you just have a digital version of it, a digital copy of the book, up on your laptop or on your tablet? It'd be so much easier, right? And you can have bookmarks in many of them, and it's so much easier, right? No, it's not the same. I have a coworker who is also a longtime role player. He doesn't get the chance to really role play anymore because he's got all kinds of outside commitments outside of work. He's got a huge family. He's a Greek Orthodox priest. He's a little bit busy, let's say. He often doesn't sleep for days on end because he's constantly doing stuff. So role-playing is kind of the last thing that he's really interested in. But when I buy new books, I bring them into work because he appreciates that as much as I do. He'll sit there and look through the books and just longingly look through each page. I've caught him sniffing the books. And I don't say anything because it's fucking great. I get it. I totally do. There's something about the smell of a brand new role-playing book. A brand new book in period. But you crack that book open, you hear the spine crinkle just a little bit as you open it up and you just... yes, inhale that smell of the pages and the ink. And I know a lot of younger role players are out there laughing their asses off because they think it's so much easier to just have all your books on your tablet or on your computer or on your phone where you can just flip through and hit your little bookmarks and whatnot and find all the information you need. And if you really absolutely need something printed off, then you fling it over to your printer and you print that page or whatever information you need. You can just copy and paste it in something, a different document, and paste, you know, print it off as you need it. And you know what? They're right. They absolutely are. But they're also incredibly wrong. Now, that doesn't make any sense. I know it doesn't. Trust me, I'm listening to myself here. Okay? I'm the only one in the room. I can't escape the sound of my voice here, okay? I get it. It's super convenient. But it's not the same. I've tried role-playing with digital books. I have many of them. Okay? I'm in the habit of when I get a print-on-demand book or I buy a book from a retailer, you know, usually from the publisher themselves, I try my best to get the editions that also provide you a PDF copy. When I go on Kickstarter, I always choose the edition that gets you the hard cover or, you know, whatever hard copy they provide, plus the PDF copy, because I like having that digital edition in case I need it. I can throw it on a tablet and hand it to my wife. So if she wants to use it, she's got it. It's right there. It's easy. Or if there's youngins around, you know, younger players in the group, they may appreciate being able to just use that digital edition rather than having to flip through a book. That's what they're used to. And that's fine. It is. It totally is. I want to embrace technology. I want to embrace the future. But personally, I'm all about the books. And I know that there are a lot of people out there who might be listening to what I'm saying here, and they are absolutely on board. It's not the same. It's not role-playing unless you have dice. It's not role-playing unless you have books. Unless, of course, sometimes there are games that are diceless. They use cards, or they use coins, or they use nothing at all. Hell, there are some games that use rock, paper, scissors to determine who wins a contest. And that's fine. But those are unique, standout examples. They are not the norm. The norm is you have your bag of dice. The norm is you have your books. Sometimes it's one, sometimes it's a fucking stack. Dungeons and Dragons, I'm looking at you. I don't care what edition. You might want to consider putting out a omnibus book. And you know what? That's not a bad freaking idea. Wizards of the Coast, you're free to steal that. I would love to see a combined book that has the Dungeon Master's Guide, the Player's Handbook, and the Monster Manual all in it. And then they could put out a second omnibus that has Xanathar's Guide, Tasha's Guide to Everything, and maybe like Mordenkainen's Tome of Foes and, you know, that sort of thing. So that they have those core supplements that are not adventure supplements, that are not, you know, modules, just the ones that are actual, boom, these are rules supplements. They could have a second omnibus. And yes, they would be big, huge books. And yes, not everyone would need everything that's in them. But for the dungeon masters out there, and for people that are just collecting, boom, here's your big-ass tome. You're bringing one big-ass tome. Poof, you need a second one? Boom, there's the other one. You're not bringing all these different books. You got to go flipping through all these different books to find everything you need. But that's, again, I'm getting off topic. I'm wanting to know, has role-playing passed me by? Now, I know, you know, we're halfway through the show and I'm already finally getting to what the topic's about. Like I said, I'm all about books. But I don't have a very good game store when it comes to role-playing here in my town. I don't. They suck. And if you go to Amazon, you can't find everything you need. I keep looking. Freaking Cyberpunk Red, for example, has been out and available in print since late November, since Thanksgiving week, right? You can't buy it on Amazon. Oh, you can buy the Quick Start Guide. That's been out for over a year. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the brand new core rulebook. You can't buy it, or at least the last time I checked. You can't buy it on Amazon. Why? They only allow it to go direct from the retailer, from the publisher, Artel Saurian Games, or from brick and mortar stores. Okay, fine. That's how I got mine. I got mine from a brick and mortar store. I ordered online. Great. But that makes it difficult to buy the printed copy because none of the freaking brick and mortar stores in my area were carrying it. None. I had to order from a store in New Jersey. It's 3,000 miles away, being I'm on the West Coast. Now, could I have found a store closer? Probably. But this was the one I found. It was it had a good deal. I ordered it. Fine. That doesn't matter. But it did make it difficult to buy that game. And I'm annoyed as someone who wanted the book. Now then, if I want the PDF, I could get that from DriveThruRPG. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy, there you go. But I wanted the printed copy. Actually, I wanted both, but I wasn't given that opportunity. I wasn't given that deal. I should have looked elsewhere. I'm aware of that. But that's okay. Not exactly needing the digital copy right now. Anyway, am I? Not exactly getting to role play with people. This is just an example, you see. The point is, it's getting harder and harder to get my hands on printed copies of books. Sure, there's print on demand. Sure, sometimes you can go direct to the publishers. But not always. Let me give you another example. As you know, I'm a huge fan of Powered by the Apocalypse games. They're kinda awesome. All right? These are games that use the Apocalypse engine. Some use some modified versions that are also considered kinda Powered by the Apocalypse. For example, Blades in the Dark is a inspired by Powered by the Apocalypse, but it's really spawned off its own Forged in the Dark rule set. And then there's Becoming Outside of Becoming, which is also kind of Powered by the Apocalypse, but not really. It's more inspired by. It's weird because the whole philosophy behind Powered by the Apocalypse is kind of weird. It's a philosophy, not a rule set, per se. Every game is pretty much different from each other. The rules are all very different, but have some core concepts that they all tend to share, but not always. Anyway, what does that have to do with anything? Well, I like buying Powered by the Apocalypse games and similar such. The problem is, many of them are virtually out of print. Maybe they went through a successful Kickstarter, let's say, and they printed X amount of copies, and then they went digital, you know? And that's how they're making their sales, is digital. And there's only so many print copies out there. And they don't do print on demand for some reason, which is really freaking annoying. Do you know what I had to go through to get a copy of No Country for Old Kobolds? It was not an easy task. More recently, I found a similar game to that called For the Dungeon. Now, I had seen this on Kickstarter, and I had missed the Kickstarter. And I kind of forgot about it for a while. Well, I rediscovered it recently and went, gee, I would really like a print copy of that. So I tracked it down. And at the time of my purchase, there were 38 copies left. 38. With no intention of doing print on demand at that time. Maybe that will change once they've run out of copies if people continue to want to buy. But that's not guaranteed. And it's kind of annoying. Now, yes, I did purchase it. And I got a copy of the digital copy. So I'm golden there. In fact, I even found another similar game that's Forged in the Dark. It uses that Blades in the Dark system called Wicked Ones. And I snagged that puppy up too. I'm getting that print on demand. So that's cool. Yes, I will have three games to choose from that are all similar systems, but not all with similar ideals of monsters. You're playing monsters instead of adventurers. You're fighting adventurers and such. So, yeah. But then again, the way I see it, I've got dozens of science fiction games. I've got dozens of horror games. I've got dozens of fantasy games. So what's wrong with having three different games with slightly different rule sets that are playing monsters in a fantasy setting? If I don't like one, I'll try a different one. One of them is distinctly comedy for the dungeon, so that makes it distinct in itself, and I'm very much looking forward to playing that. But and another one is seems very solo friendly, and another one just sounded fun. So yay, go me. That's neither here nor there. The point is, other than one of those three being Wicked Ones, it's the only one that's print on demand. And so if at some point in the future, let's say I wear out my copy of No Country for Old Kobolds, I am screwed. Sure, I might be able to track down another used copy somewhere, or, although I'm going to pay out the nose for it, or I might be able to find the digital copy, because that one I didn't get a digital copy with. I might be able to work something out there. I don't know. But it's getting to the point where I almost want to buy a book and buy a second copy so I have one to play with and one to go on the shelf, like I did with D13 RPG, by the way. I got one that was signed by the author. It is never going to be opened again. It's going on the shelf and staying there. I have another copy, which is identical but not signed, that is for use in play. And I have a digital copy just in case. It's to the point where basically I'm going to have to buy two copies of every book I buy just so I can have one as a backup and one to play with. Why? Because of Shadowrun 2nd Edition. What? Yeah, you heard me. Shadowrun 2nd Edition. I know, they're up to 6th world. They're into the 6th edition. From what I understand, it sucks. If you ask anybody who's a longtime Shadowrun fan, the argument tends to be of which is the best copies, 2nd edition or 3rd edition. 4th and 5th, or they have their fans. Nobody seems to like 6th. And 1st edition was, well, broken. Much like my edition of 2nd edition Shadowrun. I have 3rd edition. It's okay. It seems fine. I know 2nd edition. I love 2nd edition. I've played it so much that my hardback edition is breaking. It is falling apart. But I have all kinds of source books for it. And I love that edition. And I would love to have a replacement copy. Can you find it digitally? Good question, because I can't. Can you find it like a print-on-demand version? No. Can you find a used copy somewhere, or God forbid, a new edition that's never been touched? No, no. There's used like new. I found two copies of it for nearly $250. No, I'm not paying that. Sorry, I'm not an idiot. Anyway, my point is, as I said before, it is getting more and more difficult to find physical copies of books. Oh, unless you want like the major mainstream stuff. Sure, those tend to have printed copies. If your retailer's carrying them, Cyberpunk Red, I'm looking at you again. But I like obscure shit. Like I mentioned, I'm a big fan of Powered by the Apocalypse. And sure, if you get in on the Kickstarters, yeah, you can usually get a hard copy. Or, if you're lucky, you can find a place that will sell you a copy if they have them. You can maybe get in with a publisher, like Evil Hat tends to publish a lot of that stuff, and you'll be able to get hard copies through them quite often after the Kickstarter's over, after the game finally comes out. And that's fine. Sometimes they're hooked up with Exalted Funeral, and they'll do hard copies, unless, of course, they run out, like with Old School Essentials, the boxed set. You have to get the all-in-one book, which I'm okay with, and that's what I got. I was able to get a hard copy there. But that's not exactly an obscure title, okay? A lot of people like Old School Essentials. But there are games that I've looked for recently, like, oh, what was it named? It's so obscure, I don't even remember. Is that Horror World? Let me look in my... So I got a digital copy of it. Powered by the Apocalypse game. Where'd it go? Horror Movie World. Yes. Is there a power? Is there a print-on-demand copy? No. Has there ever been a printed copy of it? Nope. Digital only. Yeah. That sucks. That is not ideal. That is not something I'm super happy about. It's kind of annoying, in fact. And there's many games like that. They're all quite irritating. And more, this is becoming the norm. So I have to ask, has the industry passed me by? Or is it in the process of doing so? I get it. Digital is probably the future. I get that. But is it so hard? Is it so hard to create a print-on-demand option? I mean, there's plenty of outlets where you could go to. Lulu, Drive Through RPG, and I can't remember the other one. It's like Indie Revolution or something that do print on demand. Is it so hard to, when you create your digital version, to go ahead and create a print on demand option? You're not the one who has to fulfill it. They take care of it. You jack up the price so that it covers the cost of the print-on-demand and you still make a profit. Often throw in the PDF with it so that they feel like they're getting a deal. They're more likely to buy it. I will. I'm that idiot. I will buy them. I'm the whale. I will buy it. Give me the option to print it. Get it printed. Not print it out on my printer. Do you want me to break my printer? No, don't make me do that. Give me the option to buy print on demand. Please, I don't see how this is a huge deal. You're going to have me yelling, kids, get off my lawn. Let me print my books. Anyway, so I guess that's all I got for today. Please remember to drop by scoreme.com to leave us any thoughts you have on this show. Or on the other shows. They're all easy to find. And you feel free to join our Discord server where we can have nice long discussions about how stupid I am. That'd be just awesome. Anyway, like, subscribe, all that stupid stuff. And until next time, I'm Squirmus, wishing that all your dice rolls are nice rolls.
Wait, guys. Can't we talk about this?
Not a chance. We are through with you, Warlock.
And I'll be taking that accursed relic off of your hands.
No. Please. Not my plus one podcast of slaying.
What is wrong with you?
Seriously.
Can we just use it on him?
Okay, dude. The rest of your adventuring team has turned against you. They have hung up your warlock from the rafters of this abandoned tavern by his feet, and they intend to leave him here to die. And all you care about is that stupid podcast? Catch the hint, and roll up a new character. Maybe next time you won't light your fellow adventurers on fire? As for everyone else, I'll see you here next week.